Welcome to all football fans, both local and statewide, to the premiere of a new season with all new episodes and current content, from the Okefenokee Swamp to the Chattahoochee River, to Macon and all Central Georgia, to Athens, the classic city and home of your Georgia Bulldogs, to metro area of Atlanta, and to the breathtaking views of extreme northern portions of the Peach State. This is Season 3, Episode 3. This is the High School Football Jamboree, presented by Uncle Wayne's Steak and Barbecue. All right, we're going to start out with the AJC rankings, and we're going to start out with 6A, top 10, and we're going to go with the teams that got put out of the rankings. Newton would be the first one. They were number 10. They were put out. Westlake, which was number 9, was also put out of the top 10. And a really surprising one to me is number 5, Grayson. They were put out of the top 10. By a team that made it into the top 10 this week, which is Collins Hill. Formerly was not ranked. Val Austin made it into the top 10 with their win over Tucker, which wasn't much of a game. They beat them pretty bad. Camden County starts out in the win column, and they are number 8. That also was number 9, if I didn't say so. So Camden is number 8, and they beat Brunswick last week. North Gwinnett at number 7. Mill Creek at number 6. Walton at number 5. Not surprised at 5 and 6, I knew they'd be in the top 10. Watch the game with Colquitt County, they're number 5. They beat West of Utah, so they beat an out-of-state opponent. Douglas County also won last week, and they look really good doing it. Carrollton also won, they look really good to it. And at number 2, Douglas County at number 3, formerly number 4, Colquitt number 4, formerly number 5. Walton and Mill Creek moved up from 7-6 to 6-5. Carrollton, last week's number 2, remained at number 2. They won. Buford, still at number 1.
That was a close game, man.
That was a close game and a good game.
Yeah, a couple hours they had a weather delay.
Yeah, they did. And I want to say this, they played Milton last year's 7A state championship, which would probably be a semifinal finalist team in 6A this year.
Correct.
So that was a pretty good game. That's a pretty good football team.
So we're going to drop down to Class 5A. No teams were put out of the top 10, but we're going to definitely talk about the teams that are still there. Houston County at number 10. Roswell at number 9. Those two switched because they were 9-10 last week. Rome's game got canceled. They're number 8, but their game got canceled in the Corky Kill because of the bus accident. So they went from 7 to 8. Woodward Academy was at number 3. They're at number 7 this week. Coffee is number 6. They were at number 8 last week, but what a slaughter that was against Bainbridge.
Yeah, they didn't look good
right
at all. Bainbridge is young. It looked like they lost a lot of people. They have a new coach.
Yep.
And it didn't look good.
Right. Number 5 is Hughes. They were number 6 last week. Coming in at number 4 is Thomas County Central. They were number 5 last week. Lee County is number 3. They were number 4 last week. Number 1, number 2, they stayed the same as they were last week. Number 2 is Gainesville, the Red Elephants. I guess they couldn't steal the Crimson Tide from Alabama. But number 1 is Milton.
And probably will stay number 1 for a long time.
I got you, because that big win over Buford, as we mentioned, 13-10.
I don't know if it was much as a big win or they just better.
Right.
I mean, they're loaded with talent just like Buford. It was a good football game.
A good defensive game, too.
A lot of people are down on Dylan Raiola's brother at quarterback, and he's playing a pretty good team.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too down on him. Let's get to Class 4A. And the only one out is number 2 Stockbridge, and I want to say something about that. I didn't think they were going to be a number 2 team this year. They lost some good people. And they lost their head coach. So I wasn't too sold on them being, you know, the number two. I thought that was a little high. Number 10, not ranked last week, Z-Side, which has a pretty good team. They look decent. Number 9, Cass, was not ranked last week, which is strange to me because we only got one team out. Should be two out, right?
Right.
But maybe a mistake there. Number 8 was Creekside. They haven't played. Game canceled with Rome. Number 7 is Blessed Trinity. They were number 10 last week. Number 6 is North Oconee. And that was a battle between North Oconee and Oconee County.
I never seen the final score.
It was 20-10.
Wow.
A comeback. And they won the game. That was a good game. They're at number 6. They were at number 6 last week. At number 5, Benedictine. They were number 1 last week. I don't think that's fair to them to put them down that far.
Right.
Losing the Raven Gap.
Right. A team that's not even in a Georgia association.
Well, they're not. They play in the North Carolina Association. They are in Georgia. Their roster has kids from all over the world.
Correct.
So, they're a pretty good team. Benedictine had one or two injuries that hurt them a little bit there, but I think that's a little unkind to drop them that far down. Iwear County Gators are number 4. We were at number 7 last week, which I thought was too low for our team. They're number 4. Impressive win last week against Applin. Cartersville was number 4 last week. They are at number 3. They look just as good as they always do. Every year they're well coached. Perry at number 5. They beat up Baldwin pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. And that was in the Gridiron Classic at Fort Valley State.
Well, excuse me, Perry at number 2. They were number 5 last week.
Correct.
And at number 3 last week, but at number 1 is Marist.
Where they should be.
That's a well-coached team. They run a system that makes you be disciplined. You cannot make mistakes against them with the triple option.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little trivia while we're on Marist. Do you know who the overall winningest coach was in the state of Georgia?
Should be Marist's coach. He's probably
actually.
Well, overall winningest.
Yeah.
Coach.
Well, me and the guys were over dinner a while back, and we're talking about that.
It ain't Wright Bazemore?
No, see, that was my first guess, but no.
Who is?
Coach at Lincoln County High School.
Oh, yeah.
Larry Campbell.
Yeah, Larry Campbell.
Okay,
well, he retired now.
He did. Won 477 games as a head coach, and I say that because the head coach at Marist, Alan Chadwick, he is 3rd overall, and he's almost catching Larry Campbell in that ranking. So, okay, so we're going to go down to AAA. 3 teams were out. Ranked last week at number 9 is Cedar Grove. Number 7 was Lumpkin County. And number 5 was Bainbridge. We mentioned that loss against Coffee.
Yeah, they didn't look good. They didn't look good at all.
Right. So, we start at number 10. LaGrange is at number 10. They were number 3 last week. Number 9 is Calhoun. They were number 4 last week.
Can I say something about that?
Yes.
Calhoun is starting to go down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a descent there over the last 3 years.
Yeah, because ever since Hal Lamb retired.
Yeah, and they did put us out of playoffs, unfortunately, Thomas's senior year.
Right. And number 8, not ranked last week, but they're number 8, Monroe area. I think they're the Tornadoes.
They are a consistent team. They're always in the top 10 or in the top 5, somewhere around there. Very consistent program.
And Cairo was not ranked last week, and they didn't play a game.
But
they're not ranked, but they're number 7.
Yeah. That's wild.
Okay, somebody at AJC, please explain that to me. I need clarification. But I told you earlier off the air, I don't understand why some teams take a bye week the first week, but it is what it is. They're number seven. Troop was number 10 last week. They're number six now. Number five is Mary Persons, also didn't play a game last week. Number five this week, number six last week. Jefferson, who actually lost to Maris, they were number one this week. They're number one last week, number four this week. Peach County is number three. They were not ranked last week.
Who did Peach play? Did they play Northside? They didn't play Northside.
I don't remember. But they were during in the Gridiron Classic too, I think. Number two is Frederick Douglass out of Atlanta. They were number eight last year.
Last week.
And number one is Sandy Creek. They were number two last year.
Last week.
I'm telling you, my brain still ain't processing some of this yet.
I watched Douglas. They probably, I remember that used to be a powerhouse.
Yeah.
A while back, you know. People moving out into the suburbs,
right,
hurt them in the Gwinnett County and all that stuff. But they're probably in the right class now,
right,
where they can compete. All right, let's go down to Class 2A. And the only team out showing here is Thompson. Only game I probably didn't watch.
Right.
I didn't know they lost.
I didn't either.
Wow. All right, number 10, which was not ranked last week, is Hart County. Number 9 is Callaway. They were ranked number 4. They lost to Cedarton. Did Cedarton play them? No, Cedarton didn't play them. They lost to an upper-class team. I can't remember who it was. Number 8, last week's number 2, Appling County, who got beat by our beloved Ware County Gators. Number 7, Rockmart. They were number 3 last week. They lost to Cedarton.
Yep.
Cedarton was,
I remember that now, yep.
Number 6 is Hatfield Charter. They were number 10. They have not played a game.
And they rose in rankings.
Yeah. Well, no, they didn't rise.
Really?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they went from 10 to 6.
They were 6, yeah.
How do you go up in the rankings if you haven't played?
They haven't played a game, yeah. Number 5 is Cook County. They were number 9 last week. Number 4 is Burke County. They were number 7 last week. Watched them play. They were pretty good. Number 3 is Carver Columbus. They were number 6 last week. Number 2, Stevens County. They were number 5. And the number 1 team in double A is Pierce County, and they were number 1 last week. And they haven't played a game yet, but I'm going to tell y'all, that team looks good.
Yeah.
They look good.
I was following that scrimmage against Glen Academy.
Yes.
35-0.
And I don't know if I told you to take a look at the offensive line of Pierce County. Did I tell you that? Mm-hmm. I don't think we talked about that.
No.
Go back and watch that and watch their execution. They don't miss many blocks.
Well, the coach has done an outstanding job with that squad.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Okay, so we're going to go down to Class A, D1. The only team out is number 9 from last week, Elbert County. I think Elberton's what, the Granite Capital of Georgia?
They call the stadium the Granite Bowl.
Yeah. So, we're going to start number 10, Northeast, was number 8 last week, number 10 this week. Number 9 is Swainsboro. They were number 3 last week. Number 8 is Fitzgerald. They were 4 last week. Number 7 is Blakely County. They were number 10 last week. Number 6 is Commerce. They were number 2 last week. Number 5 is Raven County. That's number 4. They were number 5 last week. Dublin rose from number 7 to number 3. Thomasville rose from number 6 to number 2. And again, we have a number 1 team who did not play a game last week. Didn't hurt them or anything. Toombs County.
I'm going to go ahead and predict that Toombs County will go deep into the playoffs.
I see that, yeah.
I don't see a team on here Well, Fitzgerald. Well, I don't even think Fitzgerald's going to give them a problem. They are pretty good. All right, we're going to go to Class A Division II. And out this week is Schley County. They were number 5, and Telford County, they were number 10. Not ranked last week, but at number 10 is Metter, and they have not played a game.
Yeah, they're, everything's better in Metter.
I don't know about that chicken smell. No, that's Claxton.
Yeah. Well, they're saying it's cooler and pooler.
Yeah, yeah. Number 9 is Treon. Number 8 is Seminole County. They were not ranked last week. Number 7 is Greene County. They were ranked number 8 last week. Number 6 is Bryan County. They were ranked number 7 last week. And number 5 is Clinch County. They were ranked number 6, and they brought back their old coach, Jim Dickerson. Number 4 is Manchester. They dropped down from number 3. That's where Justice Terry plays. I think I made a mistake a few weeks back and said he played it somewhere else. I don't know what I was thinking, but that's where he plays. I'm surprised by that loss. Number 3 is Brooks County. They were number 2. They lost one last week. They have a different coach. Number 2 is Irwin County. They were ranked number 4 last week. And number 1 is Bowden. And they were 1 last week, and they lost.
Yep. And this next area, don't ask me or Rick to explain this to you at all, but we're going to go through this anyhow. The private school rankings, Trinity Christian and Aquinas are both out. Number 10 is Lovett. Number 9 is Greater Atlanta Christian. Number 8 is North Cobb Christian. Number 7 is Athens Academy. Number 6 is Wesleyan. Number 5 is Calvary Day. Number 4 is Fellowship Christian. Number 3 is Hebron Christian. Number 2 is Savannah Christian. And number 1 is Prince Avenue Christian. And an explanation will come as soon as we figure it out.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is. All right, so we're going to be right back for another episode with the SEC Corner, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to the debut of the 2024 SEC Corner. As always, we are live at Uncle Wayne's Steak and Barbecue. Today, we recommend a side of their baked beans with your next meal. Their most popular side, this item is prepared with hamburger meat for a perfect mouth-watering taste. All right, we're going to start with questions from Facebook posts. Is Texas overrated?
Maybe depending on your view of Arch Manning.
Well, Arch Manning is not the starting quarterback.
Exactly.
All right. Quinn Ewers is the starting quarterback and is a good quarterback. They have some injuries, both running backs. The starter and his backup are both injured. Season-ending injuries. All right, so that hurts them some. I don't know about them being overrated. I think they lost some good receivers, went and got a few. Are they going? They got Xavier Worthy. Not Xavier Worthy, excuse me. They got the gentleman from Alabama. The dude that was at Buford, I can't think of his name right now, and it escapes me. I'm trying to pull his name up here. But they got the gentleman from Alabama who caught that winning touchdown in the Auburn game.
Correct, yeah.
So, let's see. I have his name here in a sec. Let's get the wide receivers. Isaiah Bond. It just jumped in my head without seeing it. So, they have Isaiah Bond. Does he make up for Xavier Worthy and our former two-time national championship wide receiver, Adonai Mitchell, A.D. Mitchell, and a couple other receivers they had? I don't know. I can't answer that question. But far as overrated, I wouldn't say overrated. Are they SEC ready? Beating Alabama one time does not make you SEC ready.
Correct.
It's a pounding all week. And most people say, oh, that's everywhere. No, it's not. It's not the same everywhere. I would also say that the Big Ten is, with itself being more of a smash mouth league, it's not like everywhere else. But the SEC, That's rough.
This is, the SEC is a monster all of its own.
Right.
Greatest conference college football.
Do they have SEC people? Of course they do. But let's see how they fare against that schedule.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be
because in the Big 12 now, just think about this. In the Big 12, they had, it was just them and Oklahoma. Every once in a while, Kansas State would give them a little trouble. Or they'd lose a game they shouldn't.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But and here in the past few years, Texas ain't been that good. Oklahoma has. Oklahoma dominated the Big 12.
Correct.
So I don't want to say overrated, but I will say not SEC ready.
Gotcha.
I guess they would say they are, but not SEC ready.
Correct.
Next question. Does Oklahoma have a chance? Yes, they do. Brett Venables is recruiting good. He is a good coach. Will they get better this year? We're going to find out. Their quarterback, let's go down here. Back to back down here. They bought in another quarterback.
So this is going to go from a Big 12 match to an SEC match.
Yeah, it'll be an SEC match. I'm trying to get where to get to their quarterback. They bought in another quarterback. Well, no, they kept the one they had there, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm looking right now. As of right now, Texas is ranked number 4. Oklahoma is ranked number 16.
I'm going to say Oklahoma may do a lot better than everybody thinks.
Well, they play each other on October the 12th. It'd be interesting to see who wins that game, especially the games at Oklahoma this year.
Right. Let's go to – okay, so – starting QB there. Oh, they got a lot of guys on there. Oh, I didn't know he was there. He's still there. Not sure who the starting QB will be on day one. They have named him. Jackson Arnold.
Gotcha.
He's the starting QB there. I think Oklahoma is going to be better. I think they're going to be better than Texas will be over the long haul. Now, Steve Sarkisian has coached in the SEC. He knows what it takes. He knows what kind of players it takes. Like I said before, do they have that depth to be able to survive in the SEC right now? I don't think so. But a lot of people do. They're smarter than me.
I got you. And my friends don't know why I need to go to Oklahoma sooner, but they'll figure it out.
All right. Next question from Facebook. Will Georgia continue their dominance? Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. If you watch any of Kirby Smart's interviews, you would have seen that in a sneaky way he kind of masked his excitement. You know, he'll say things like, well, we look good and we got some depth with reps and all that, but we're not where we need to be. You know, that's his backhand way of complimenting.
Right.
And I think he's a little excited. You can tell the pep in his step. He's excited about that team. Now, could they lose the game? Yes, they could. Yes, they could. But I think they'll be a favorite in almost every game they play. I don't think Texas will beat them. I mean, people are picking them to lose that game. You know, or Georgia's loss may come at Texas, or it may come at this. Seeing what sticks, I guess. But I don't see Texas beating. Next question from Facebook, how will Alabama fare without Coach Saban?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah. Kalen DeBoer is a good coach. People need to go look up his record. He has won everywhere he has been. At Washington, and I told some friends this, man, not last year, but the year before last, Washington lost two games in the Pac-12 that were close. and they could have won. And he did a good job with them. He is a good coach. I mean, he knows how to win. He's not Nick Saban. He's a different person, totally right. Different personality. I read one article where, well, no, I saw his interview where he was telling kids, told Jalen Milroe, who threw a touchdown pass in practice, he's like, man, go down there and celebrate with your receiver. And Jalen Milroe was like, yeah, you couldn't do that when Coach Saban was here. You know, and he said, well, I'm not going to, you know, not saying anything bad. He said, man, I want you to go celebrate with your receiver. So it's two different type of people. They have not dropped off in recruiting. I think right now they have the number one class, if I'm not mistaken, right now.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's all that, yeah.
I don't see them dropping off. I think he's going to, because of the people he lost last year, they're going to have a few problems.
I agree.
I don't think they beat Georgia.
Mm-mm.
I think they're in every game they play next year, because he is that kind of coach. And you better watch out next year.
Correct.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
So before we move on from there, the question I'm posing to you guys, and I already have Cody's answer, and which is my answer as well, what two teams do we think will be in the SEC championship? Cody has said Texas and Georgia. I'm going to agree with him on that. Actually, I'm not. I'm going to say Georgia and Oklahoma. That's my pick. So what two teams do you have?
I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that Alabama may play Georgia again.
Really?
I don't know. LSU doesn't have depth on the D line, so they may not be there. Brian Kelly is a good coach.
Right.
But I don't think they could be there. I don't think so. I'm not that big on Texas. I think they're going to win some games, win a lot of games. But as I said before, do they have SEC depth? That's how you get to the SEC championship. They are one of the ones, you know, I kind of like, I think I told y'all in the text, Georgia in the field, you know.
Right.
Whoever else is there. I think Alabama has a chance to get back there if they win through, and that's going to be tough. Ole Miss has a lot of players, and I'm surprised nobody asked a question about them.
Right.
They have a pretty good team. They bought.
Right.
I ain't mad at them. It's legal.
Right.
The way they did it. I would say this. Yes, kids can get chemistry, you know, just in one spring and fall camp, but I doubt they'll have the chemistry that a Georgia will have with their kids, with the kids being there. So I'm a little anxious to see how they come together before I crown them. They've been crowned by most of the major networks that they're going to be trouble and give Georgia trouble. You got some kids that ain't never played together. So it's not the same just because they got superstars.
And Ole Miss, were they the ones that were supposed to beat Georgia really bad, or was that Mississippi State?
Oh, that was them.
It was.
And they got smoked.
All right, because
they were talking last year like, oh, this is going to be a really good game for Georgia. And they got smoked.
It's one of those things that you hear about this team that, oh, they're going to do this, they're going to do it. They got this player every single week. It was something. I said, you know what? I was told that there was a Santa Claus, but at some point I quit believing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I know 24/7 Sports, the composite, they had Texas win to SEC, then a five-way tie for second place with Ole Miss winning the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that. But that's their job. They do that all day. We just do this for fun.
Yep. They get paid to be experts.
They get paid to do it. That don't mean they're experts.
All right, true.
I just don't see that.
All right.
Maybe they want to tell me something, but I don't see that. Jackson Dart is a decent quarterback. He's not Carson Beck. It's not Quinn Ewers. A few other quarterbacks, I think, that are better in the SEC than him. They lost Quinshon Judkins to Ohio State, but they bought another running back. Got a few guys from Texas A&M. I mean, they brought in the beef they needed to compete. And Lane Kiffin said that after the game against Georgia. They're bigger than us up front. We need that to compete, which is funny because him saying that, you remember Georgia's secondary coach last year, Fran Brown.
Yeah.
He's at Syracuse. And I know I'm getting off SEC, but I want to bring home the point of beef on the line. And he said this. And the guy was asking, you got these big guys. You know, he said, hey, that's we want the same. I want the same mantra, you know, that Georgia had. You know, I want physical guys. I want beef up there. And I want to play Coach Smart one day. And I need to have a team that can compete with an SEC team.
Right.
So, I mean, it is common knowledge that you need to be big on the line, big and talented on the lines of scrimmage, not just big, big That's and right. talented on the line of scrimmage. And Lane Kiffin had said that, and he went out and got some people. Now, will that make them better? Yeah, it'll make them better. Will they be able to do the same? I don't know. I don't think so, because on offense, they didn't look that great. I mean, they took it down the field, but Georgia shut that junk down.
Right.
So I don't know where everybody is coming from. They're going to miraculously run over everybody this year. No, they're not. And Georgia probably embarrass them again.
Right. So I'm going to bring us to the open mic section, part of the segment. And I'll do that by asking your opinion. We want to get your opinion on how you feel about the SEC in general in 2024. And I'll start by asking you, how do you feel that there's no more East versus West in the SEC?
Well, I think that's good because, I mean, Georgia was just going to win the East again.
Yeah, easily.
Easily. And then some teams are forced to play games. I mean, they have these schedules where, oh, I got to play this person every year. And not much crossover for some teams. Like Georgia played Texas A&M at home, but never played them at Kyle Field.
Right.
You get to see some variety in that, and I think you get the best two teams that way.
Right.
Because we really don't know if the West is better than the East or the East is better than the West.
Right.
The teams winning it don't tell you that is the case. You know, okay, Georgia won it. They won the East, so the East is better. Not necessarily. Or Alabama won it, and the West is better. That's not necessarily true, because could Missouri have fared pretty good in the West? Yes, they could have. Eli Drinkwitz has them playing good, and he's recruiting good. So I like not having the divisions.
Well, basically, Missouri was a West team stuck in the East, basically.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. They're in the Midwest. I don't know. That's strange. That was strange. They probably could have put Auburn in the East.
Yeah.
For that matter, they could have put Alabama in the East, and then you got even more lopsided SEC games. Then you got LSU out West. That doesn't necessarily mean that it would be. But, yeah, I like not having the divisions.
So what other kind of thoughts do you have about the SEC this year?
Vanderbilt's still going to be on the bottom.
Yeah. Hey, the day they actually win the conference or have a winning season, I will die.
Yeah.
What do they play, baseball?
I feel sorry. Yeah, they good at it, too. Yeah, they do. I kind of feel sorry for Billy Napier. You know, they had the nickname for him, Sun Belt Billy. But he's a good coach. I feel bad for him because of the schedule he has this year. And Florida hasn't figured out the reason why they keep losing, because they keep firing coaches. They fired Will Muschamp. It just went downhill after Urban. which I think he kind of messed Florida up. They won national championship, but program went under. I feel sorry for him because that is a tough schedule. I don't know if you've seen his schedule.
I think it's all.
Oh, close. My goodness. That's tough. That ain't fair. Of course, Georgia's is tough.
Right.
I think he may surprise me. I hope he do. I think the Dawgs beat the brakes off of him. But that's a rivalry game, you know. People always play above their head in games like that. Anything could happen. But that schedule is tough, man. I was looking at it, I'm like, gosh, they could lose seven games. They could lose seven games. Or they can win seven, be 7-6, and it'd be like, that was an accomplishment. But the fans are not going to like that. Yeah, I mean, they'll probably want him fired, but the University of Florida needs to hold on to a coach for a while and let them build a program. They ain't done that.
Nope.
And you keep hiring. And everybody, you know, you hear jokes about Dan Mullen and all that stuff there, but Dan Mullen beat Georgia. Dan Mullen won the East, and they fired him. And all these rumors out, he didn't care about recruiting. I'm pretty sure he did, but I mean, he likes calling plays. He likes coaching. So, did he do some goofy stuff? Yeah, he did a lot of goofy stuff. But he beat Georgia, and they got to give him some time to get that team out. But man, the way things are now, man, and the way the money move around and all that stuff, man. I don't think they will. It'll be a big mistake, though, if they fire him after this year.
I think so.
Kentucky with Bob Stoops.
Yep.
Not Bob, but is it Mark Stoops?
Yeah, yeah.
Mark Stoops. I said Bob. I mean, Bob's the older brother who was a good coach. He's a good coach. Man, I thought they'd make more noise last year. They didn't. They have Brock Vandegrift, one of our quarterbacks we had 3 years, won him two national championships before he left Georgia. As a he wasn't a backup. Yeah, as backup. He was backup to Carson Beck. And he's at Kentucky. I don't know if he'll be good for him. We ain't seen him play a full game, stuff like that, but he's a good quarterback and a great athlete.
Right.
So he could be good. They have John Dumas Johnson from our team at linebacker. I mean, he got closer to home and remained in the SEC. They like that kid. They like Vandegrift, got nothing bad to say about, you know, either one of them. They did what was best for them. He was not going to start this year. Just wasn't going to beat out Beck. I think they. I don't know what to say about them. They could be 7-6, 6-7.
Well, the joke I've always told about Kentucky is that they play so much basketball in Kentucky that the running backs think they're supposed to dribble the football.
Well, he's a good coach. He's done better than anybody I've in my lifetime at Kentucky. Hal Mumming did pretty good, but he ain't really. Rattle no cages, but Kentucky could be 6-7 or 7-6, or they could fool us and win more games. I don't know. You know, we're just prognosticating right now.
Correct.
Mississippi State. Jeff Lebby is the coach there.
Right.
Pretty good offensive mind. Could they be better? They could be. And I'm calling these teams out that usually don't. You know, it hadn't in the last few years made big noise, but I mean, Mississippi State was able to win 8 games a couple of years. They could be better under Jeff Levy. We're going to find out. He's a coach's son, and he's been good wherever he's been. Mississippi State, Kentucky, Missouri is going to be in that top. We're going to find out how good they are. But their schedule, they got a good chance to be in the SEC championship. They got a big game against Alabama. That's going to tell, but they're in that top five to me in the SEC. LSU, they're going to be good. Brian Kelly's a good coach, but I think they have a problem with D-line depth. They did go get some people in the portal to help. They ought to be pretty decent. They'll win more than eight games.
Oh, yeah.
They'll win more than eight games. Vanderbilt, Kentucky. We talked about Florida.
What about South Carolina?
And that's where I was probably going to next. No. They're not going to be able to.
No.
They're starting a decent quarterback. If he wins six games, they need to get him a raise. I mean, he lost kids to the portal. We got Xavier McLeod from him. If they win six games, they ought to give him an award.
Arkansas.
Yep, I was going to them. Let's see. They got my guy, Sam Pittman. They got my guy, Sam Pittman. I liked him. He was the O-line coach for Georgia. But he probably is on the hot seat. He went and got Bobby Petrino. They got some decent players that come in with them. I mean, it could be from 6 to 8 games. I don't see them making no fuss. I hope they don't think they're going to win 11-2. That's not going to happen. I don't think it will.
Right.
It may surprise me. Like I say, I ain't an expert. Tennessee is recruiting well. Everybody big on a quarterback for them that has not played a full year. We don't know what they're basing off bowl game. I wasn't that excited by him. But apparently people are. They're talking about how much a superstar he is. We're going to find out. Josh Heupel is a good coach, good offensive mind. Can he do better this year than he has the last two? It's a possibility. It wasn't that great last year, but they played well enough to get in the bowl. The year before, everybody made them world beaters, and Georgia shut them down. They could be pretty good this year. Do I think they make it to the SEC championship? No. Auburn Tigers. They have Hugh Freeze. He's a good coach. Good offensive mind. They almost got Georgia last year.
Oh, yeah.
And that was surprising to me. It's almost like they had their signs.
Right.
But that was a good game.
About Texas A&M.
About to get to them.
All right.
We did Ole Miss. Texas A&M is the last team, I think.
I think so.
They have a good. They went out and got the coach from Duke, Mike Elko. He's a good coach. Let's see what he. It's up in the air what they may do. They could be in that bottom half or be in that top half. I don't know. So this is a wait and see. That's a change, and that could be bad. But I want to talk about the two add-ons, Texas and Oklahoma. And I know I said that does Texas have the depth? Does Oklahoma? And that also goes for Oklahoma. Does they have the depth to play an SEC schedule? And they're getting there. I know I said that, Oklahoma could probably be in there. I just don't. Texas has got to show me that they can do it the whole year. If they beat Georgia, I'll say yeah. If it's close, I'll say yeah, they got a chance to see them again. You gotta be able to do that the whole year. You got to have the depth because it's rough. Teams gonna pound you. They're gonna strike you in the SEC. It ain't the Big 12, the pass happy league.
Right.
And this ain't that. So they're going to have to show me that they can do it for 12 games.
Correct.
And I'm not just going to – we kind of have put the teams that are here. But, I mean, but come on, Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Well, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, no. Kentucky could win somewhere between 6 and 9 games. Mississippi State could be there, but, I mean, this conference is going to be hell.
It is.
So.
So as we come to a close of this segment, we just want to say next week we're all going to make our picks for the first week of college football. This is going to be for fun. Rick is going to have his picks. Cody's going to have his picks. I'll have my picks. And Uncle Wayne, our presenting sponsor, will have his picks as well, just for fun, to keep a running record. And I'm going to go ahead and give the key word for our podcast this week. It will be college. College is the key word. Be good till next Thursday at 2 p.m. So keyword is college. Get 10% off when you use the keyword at Uncle Wayne's or at Glassworks Auto Care with Mike Merck. All right, so we will be right back for our next segment.
All right, welcome back to High School Football Jamboree, and we are on our segment Hometown Heroes, and I have here with me Mr. Gary Franklin, Hall of Fame member of the Ware County Hall of Fame. How you doing today, Gary?
Good, man. I'm glad to be here. How y'all doing?
All right. I know Gary a little bit, coaching him a little bit in Midnight League.
Yes, yes,
I mean,
yes.
I don't know if I can say coach more than watched. He was that good. All right, so we're going to get on to the questions here, brother. I know you had a long day. What years did you attend Ware County High School?
I got to Ware County High about 1996, graduated in 99.
Do you have any favorite teachers from Ware County
High? Man, it was a lot of good teachers out there, man. The ones that kind of stuck out, Coach Chancey, he was real good. The principal was real good, Dr. Bussey. He ran the high school pretty good, man. I enjoyed seeing him every day. You know, him and Dr. Brantley was out there. He took over after Dr. Brantley, so we had a lot of good teachers out there. It was pretty good.
That's good. Now we're gonna talk about sports and your career at Ware County High School. And you were good all your life. I know you're a humble person and you don't
yes.
brag, but you were good all your life. We used to call you Mr. N1 in high school. It was a guaranteed foul. You had a few battles with, what was the gentleman name from Tiff County? Was it Big Pablo?
Well, Pablo came, I think I was an eighth grader when Pablo was coming through, but I used to be in the stands watching them. They had two big guys, 2'6", 8" guys they had.
I remember that.
Yeah, they had the Twin Towers. And, you know, Valdosta was pretty good. It was number one in the state around that time. They had started four or five shooters at one time. So they was real good. The region was real good back then. It was great athletes.
It was. Now, I don't know if people remember, Ware County basketball was better before Ware County football was.
Oh,
y'all
yes.
were good before football.
Yes, yes.
Football wasn't winning nothing when
yes,
they consolidated,
yes.
which was, man, really strange to me.
Yeah, it was, because you had some guys out there on the football field that, man, that could have easily played D1 football, right? Big guys, you know, Nakia Benefield, and, you know, you had Brent Holloman and all those guys there, and man, it was some dudes on that team.
Real
man,
dudes, when they first consolidated.
Yeah.
Donnell George, I mean, there was a lot of good
athletes,
guys on
yeah.
the team.
Offense and defense,
yeah.
special teams and speed. They had everything.
Yeah, I just think we probably should have brought in a new coach with the consolidation. That says nothing bad about
right.
Coach Williams. They just probably needed to do a little change altogether and
right.
bring somebody else in. I think
right.
that was that mistake. But let's get back to you in basketball. Ware County was pretty good through your years. I know you. What was your point average? You averaged a lot of points.
Well, my senior year, I think I averaged 26 points a game. I think my junior year was a little better. I think I averaged like 27, 28 points my junior year, whatever. And my senior year, we was more balanced.
Right.
We were more balanced team, and I had some great guys on my team that put me in position to score. So, yeah. You know, I love playing with them guys. Those guys was real good.
Yeah, y'all had a good squad.
Yeah.
I watched all y'all kids come up through Rick Lee and
Midnight League.
Yes. Y'all had some good squads. Yes. For some reason, I would have thought your average was high, did you say?
Yeah. At one point, you know, I averaged probably like 32 points a game. But, you know, once defenses start, you know, coming down on you, and you know, you have to get your other teammates into the game and stuff like
exactly.
that.
So, of course.
So we still won, and you know, me scoring some points. But you know, if I take a dip in points, as long as we get the win, so
that's right.
It's good.
So you played power forward, correct?
Well, Coach Price had a crazy offense. I was really a shooting guard, but you know, I started the game on the wing. You know, and you know, guards got on to me. So
right.
We did a little screen down so I can post them up, whatever like that.
And you did it well.
Yeah. And then, you know, put a big guy on me, you know, I take him to the rack and stuff like that. So,
right.
Yeah, so it was good. So I really play on the wing, but, you know, I got a lot of points inside. So.
So you just schooled me on something.
Yeah.
I always thought, I said, man, hey, look, we had a power forward in high school. You used to always talk noise, man.
Yeah.
And you schooled me then. Yeah. You were what, 6'2", 6'1"?
6'1", yeah.
6'1",
yeah,
in high school?
Yeah.
And I seen you dominate some big people.
Yeah. Man, I learned that playing with you know, guys in Waycross, you know what I'm saying? Bailey Park, Garlington, you know, playing with grown guys, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't get much of that today.
No, not calling fouls. I never call fouls. And you know what I'm saying? It helped me. When I got to the high school ball, so those fouls they ain't bothered me. So
right, you learn to play through.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there ain't no referee out there.
Yeah.
You
no.
may think it's a call, but the ball's still moving.
Yeah.
You got to keep going.
Yeah.
So you don't see a lot of that now.
No.
And I passed by Bailey there, what used to be Bailey, in that park out there. I see kids out there playing.
Right.
Now I think basketball's on the resurgence, and also you do some coaching too, don't you?
Yeah. We got organization on Waycross Supersonics, is me and coaches like Darren Ward, Dante Cooper, and guys like that. You know, we got a from third grade all the way up to 11th and 12th grade.
Yeah.
So we take those guys all over the country, and man, we have a good time with those guys. Man, I got some excellent guys that are with me. You know, some coaches out of the neighborhood around town, so they do a good job with
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, y'all have done a good job with them. Y'all done well in those tournaments. That's really giving back. I wish more people would do it, and it's a good bit of y'all, and hats off to Dante, too.
Right.
Y'all always involved, man. That's good, man.
We got a lot of good guys that coaches these kids in our organization. And we got another organization, Future Stars. Those guys does a good job, Marquise Maddox.
Right.
They do a good job with those kids too. So basketball is good, man. We got a new head coach out there that's pretty good. You know, he's got the program on the right track. Coach Lenny Williams, he does a good job with those guys. So yeah, basketball is kind of coming back to work, kind of.
Good. Yeah. That's a good thing. You did play football.
Yeah, I kind of wish I would have stuck with it. You know
I kind of so, did, too.
Yeah.
I used to ref your games, and you probably wasn't paying much attention to me back then, but you played fullback in his offense, didn't you?
Yeah. Middle school, I was a tailback. I was a running back, man, and got to high school, was a fullback in Coach Pendleton's system.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of thought that. Yeah, I'm like, man, we look good back there in that wishbone stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know, it didn't turn out too well.
We just ain't had the numbers, man. We were a 4A school, which was big classification back then, with you know about 49, 50 players.
He ran off about 50 of them.
You played against Lowndes County, who had about 102.
Yeah.
And
Valdosta.
Yeah.
You know, so. Did that make you better in basketball playing football?
Yeah. I think playing multiple sports, I think it helps you out on all the sports you play. You know, football, it makes you tougher. You know what I'm saying? You got to be tough to play football, you know, to make it. You know, if you want to play in the game, if you want to be successful, you got to be tough. Right. Got to be tough in football, and it helped me on my basketball game because, you know, I was more like a fullback playing, you know, on the wing and stuff like that. So
yes, you were.
Yeah, you know, and you know, a lot of basketball players didn't have a lot of strength back then, you know, and I was strong.
Yeah, you
strong
big kid.
So
yeah,
I took advantage of that.
I don't mean it big as in fat. He was a big kid.
Yeah. So I took advantage of that. So football helped me. It helped me physically, you know.
That's good. Playing multiple sports, which is a good idea. You think that's a good idea?
Yeah, it is, man. I encourage everybody to do it, man, because you look at these recruiters now, man. These recruiters want to know what else, you know, what other sports do you play? That's like one of the questions they ask you. You know what I'm saying? If you're a football player, they want to see you on the track. You know?
Yeah.
And even on the basketball court, you know, it's kids that did a lot of stuff on the basketball court that got them football scholarships, you know what I'm saying?
Wow, yeah.
And it's crazy, you know, because you look at a guy like, back in the day, like Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
You know, he was a basketball player.
He was a basketball player.
Basketball player, yeah.
Didn't play college football.
No. But scouts see, you know, potential. Yep. Like, you put this guy on the football field, he's huge. On the basketball court, he's small.
Right.
But you put him on the football field, he's a beast.
That's right.
So, and you know, it started way back then. Now kids now, you know, you can go out there, you know, slam dunk the ball and do all kind of stuff like that, man. And scouts looking like, dog, that can be a good receiver, you know what I'm saying?
You know, back in the day, when Brian Van Gorder went to see Thomas Davis play. It was either Thomas, I think it was Thomas Davis, or I may be wrong on which one it was, but he went and saw them play a basketball game.
Yeah.
He said, hey, man, I want that dude.
Yeah. Like the kid just went to Georgia from Clinch County, Jeremy Bell.
Oh, my God, he could jump out the gym.
Jump out the gym. Yeah. Kirby come to see him play basketball, you know?
Right.
You know, so I encourage a lot of kids to, don't focus on one sport. No matter what people tell them, man, play multiple sports.
Right, because you know? Most of these kids that are stars at these schools play more than one sport.
Yeah. Don't get locked in the one sport. Don't get locked in the one position. Because, you know, a lot of cats, you know, athletic cats on a professional level, college level, they play like quarterbacks and all that stuff in high school. You know, so. I encourage the kids to play multiple sports. Do it all.
And I'm kind of, you know, mixing the questions up here. How critical is it for to have community involvement with kids in sports?
Man, it's huge because if you got a community behind you, man, you feel like you can do anything. That's because. Right. Because think about it, you know, the coaches, they have these kids, you know, every day, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day, even in school, you know what I'm saying? So, but in the community, they probably listen to Mr. Rick more than they listen to, you know, their own coach, you know what I'm saying? Because they can relate to you better,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you hear every day in the community.
And that's not
like
saying
that.
Nothing bad
No, there ain't
the
nothing
coaches.
Bad about the coaches and whatever like that. Because it takes a village, you know what I'm saying? So
right. The
community... The community feeds off the coaches, and the coaches feed off the community. We both need each other,
exactly.
You know, to make this thing work.
Exactly.
So the community is huge, you know what I'm saying? Like, even, you know, Ware County football, man, we travel deep. Those kids look in the stands, they see all that green and gold, you know, they face light up, man, and we travel deep. So community is a big part.
And you have a son playing right now.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Man, it feels good, man. He's a junior. Plays a little tight end, plays a little receiver, plays a little, you know, up back, stuff like that. So
right.
It's good to see him out there, man, playing on the field and watching them grow,
yeah.
and stuff like that, you know, watching them succeed and watching them fail, you know what I'm saying? Because
right.
you got to fail to get where you're going.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
And
I like to see him work through it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I can't play another down. I can't play another quarter.
Oh, not another.
Yeah, it's his career, you know, and I'm just here to have a helping hand in it, you know what I'm saying?
And that is a good thing. I always tell people, don't listen to people who say things like, oh, you're living through your child.
Yes, yes.
Don't listen to that nonsense.
Yes, 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 yes. And then you can't live through your child. I know a lot of us kind of want to, but you got to let your child be his
yeah,
own man.
Let it be. And sometimes that's, you know, doing that, people mistake that for that.
Yes, yes, that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And your son's a pretty good athlete.
Yeah, and you know, I'm proud of him. I'm just proud of him. If he don't play another down, you know, I'm proud of him because he's coming along pretty good. So.
And you have to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
You have
yeah,
to say that
yeah,
to him.
You got to.
Yeah,
you got
it,
to.
It is not by because he is good enough to play at the next level.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say that, and he's gonna mature and get better than he is now.
Right, and then Mr. Rick, you know, a lot of kids. It's standing impossible to play at the next level. People don't understand.
They don't understand it. No.
And it's standing impossible to get a scholarship, the athletic scholarship.
Yep.
It's hard.
It's hard because if you don't have the exposure, and people don't understand.
Right.
I went through that thing with my child. I didn't learn until too late how many camps I have to take him to.
Right. Right, you got to beat this social media up. You got to fight the portal now. You got to get
none of that existed.
No.
The portal that didn't exist.
No.
So and it was still hard.
And then you can't blame these coaches because that's just
man,
like if I can get a guy that's already seasoned and I ain't got to babysit him, coming in as a freshman, he's good to go. You gonna take that? You know what I'm saying? So our kids, they're fighting against that portal, and it's not fair, but life ain't fair. You know what I'm saying? So, but everybody can't play college sports. You know what I'm saying? And it's okay.
And it takes. Having my brief stint, I'm going to tell you something. It's different.
It is. It is.
Because you're going to have to go to class.
It is. I break it down to all my players every year. And I said, it's like a job.
That's right.
I said, these, and you can't blame them because they put money in your pocket.
Exactly.
They're not
literally putting it in your pocket.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. They paying for your way.
Yeah.
And like I said, wake up in the morning, 4 o'clock practice.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying? And I had to walk through the snow. You know what I'm saying? To go through 4 o'clock practice, get back to the dorm, take a shower, go to class. You know what I'm saying? Go to individual workout, which was just like a practice. Then go to lunch. Go back to class. After class, you got practice.
Yeah, gotta watch tape.
After practice, you got study hall.
Yeah.
Then you got film.
Oh, my God.
Then by the time it's time to lay it down.
And
then 4 o'clock, come right back around.
Have you taught your son how to watch film? Have you been able to break down with him?
Well, I have, and he's getting familiar with film and stuff like that because – nowadays they watch a lot of film.
Yeah, they do.
They watch. They watch a lot of film, and it's something we had to do ourselves.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? So
we watched it on Thursday night.
Right.
The coaches.
We
didn't have the technology.
Right.
That wasn't happening like that, and it was on reel to reel.
Right.
You know?
They got so much technology stuff now. So they watch a lot of film, and Huddle is good. Huddle is real good for those kids, so because they can pull out their phones and just watch film while they land in their bed and stuff like that.
Right.
So that's a real good tool for them. They got a leg up on us. You know what I'm saying?
And what we had.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't no camps for me.
No. Yeah. We had to go in the backyard and train.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And we have a question here that we always ask each person we interview. To all Ware County athletes from every sport, what does it mean to be a Gator?
Man, it's everything, man, because you, like, I don't know about anybody else, but when I walk into the basketball gym, man, I just think about days, blood, sweat, and tears I put on that court, you know what I'm saying? And it just brings back a lot of memories, you know what I'm saying? And it's like you representing your hometown. You know what I'm saying? It's bigger than the Gator, than the school, whatever. Like, it's It's about you representing your hometown, like where I'm from. You know what I'm saying? And you don't let nobody disrespect where you're from.
Where you're from,
you know what I'm saying? And you wear it on your sleeve. You wear it proudly. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even when I was going to school up in everywhere I went, Kansas and Pennsylvania, nobody knew where Waycross was, you know what I'm saying? But I wasn't one of them guys that, man, I'm from Atlanta.
I didn't
like
lie
that.
About where
you know
I was
saying?
From
I'm from
either,
Waycross.
Man.
I'm from a small
even when I was in the middle, I ain't lie about where I was.
Yeah, man.
I have dudes that was from around here and from Alma and stuff talking about they from Atlanta.
Right, man. I'm from Waycross, Georgia, man. And that's what it means to play for the Ware County Gators, man. It's just where you from, you know what I'm saying? You represent. And that's no different from you being a Bulldog, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like we all, you know, we all Waycross, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we all Waycross.
So it's just, I represent Waycross, man, when you talking about the Gators, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
so.
Exactly. I'm going to ask a few more questions, man.
Yeah.
Because I know you tired. You just
repped
the game.
I'm good, man.
You good?
I'm good. Yeah, right. I'm good.
Another thing, and I didn't mention this when we were talking about all these camp stuff. Man, that stuff is expensive.
It is.
You got to have income.
It is. And now, I started taking other kids with me so they can experience it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't so much as the camps. It's like the other stuff, like the food, the gas, the hotels,
man.
And stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
that's what I meant by
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So all of it adds up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's tough. And then it's a lot of wear and tear on you because, like I say, me and my son, we did Auburn camp last year. We did that on the turnaround. You know what I'm saying? And riding to Auburn and turn around and coming back. You know. And then this year I took a couple of guys to Troy State. Troy. And we went up there and came on back. You know, I'm the only one that can drive. I'm tired and wore out and stuff like that. But the kids got a good experience. You know what I'm saying? I took some kids that had never been to a camp before. And, you know, some kids that may not play, you know, college football. You know what I'm saying? Might not play on the next level. But they got this experience.
They get the experience.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. And that's everything to some kids.
It
you know
is.
What I'm saying? So a lot of them enjoy that, you know, get to compete and, you know what I'm saying, do stuff like that and get that shirt and all that stuff, meet the coaches, shake hands with the coaches and stuff. It was a good experience, though, you know.
Yeah.
So
my experience with it, I'm going to give a shout-out to somebody from my neighborhood back in the day, Fred King.
Yes.
Man,
does a good job.
He does a wonderful job. We went up to a few of the top camps.
Yeah. Yes.
And I was telling the kids there when we went there, I knew, hey guys, these camps, everybody are ones.
Real deal.
They look at me, they were looking at me like it was crazy and got out there and got embarrassed.
Yes.
You know? There were kids getting off the bus and I can't remember. I've tried to remember who this kid's name is. We were at the University of Florida. He got off the bus. Dude had he was on official visit.
Yeah.
Had his clothes in a grocery bag.
Damn.
He was killing it out there. And I was telling him, I said, y'all see that boy?
Yeah.
He ain't got nothing.
He ain't got nothing.
He
yes.
coming there hungry. That, and them kids there, it's something else when they come. They done burnt the bridges. I got to do this.
And some of those kids like machines, man, because like I say, my oldest son, when we went to Georgia, kid named Isaiah Wilson, I want to say, about 330, 340. I'm sitting next to him, and you know, I asked him. I said, "Which one of them boys yours out there?" You know, and he said, "No, sir." He said, "I'm on a recruiting visit." I said, "God, this joker was huge, man."
Yeah,
so, man.
Yeah,
so,
you played against some giants.
Man,
you know?
I'm telling you, it's a different level, man, up there, man.
Yeah.
You got to be blessed, man. Blessed with this, you know, special talent and size and stuff like that, man.
One thing I do say, everybody won't play college ball. But you can get a good bit of kids into college. They need to understand they're not D1 players.
No.
See, that's a big misconception.
Yep.
You have not seen those kids, they're like you were just saying about Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah. 6'8". And don't get it twisted. It's talent everywhere. Because I'm gonna give you an example. I went to junior college in Kansas. I was first team all conference out there in the toughest conference in America called the Jayhawk Conference. I played against D1 guys every night. You know, 6'8 guys, 6'10 guys, and these guys were either going to play pro overseas or they was going big time D1. And then, you know, I had just as much talent as them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was first team, all conference.
But it's exposure and
Those guys, they had the size.
Yeah, the size.
Yeah.
And they look at that, and you may have been better than some of them.
Yes.
But
no,
they're like,
no
okay,
doubt.
He got the frame.
I got to take that 6'8 guy.
I got to take that
6'8 guy. And I get it. So, like I say, but when I went to Division II, it was some dogs out there. It was some dogs. So, you can't get caught up in a D1, D2. Everybody want to go D1. No. But I'm telling you, it's talent all across the board.
It is talent all across the board, and I want to say this too. It's still hard. It is still hard. You still have to be a special kind of person
to get up
every morning, go to class, eat like you're supposed to,
yes.
Make film. Go study film, all that stuff. Show up to your meetings on time.
Main thing about that, Rick, guess what? You got to do that. Ain't nobody holding your hand.
Boy, look at him.
If you don't get them to do that, man, you're going to get a bus ticket back home.
I've seen
a lot of my teammates, go back, didn't make it because, you know, ain't got no self-determination.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
And it's just, you got to be focused. You got to be on another level focused, man. And like I say, sports is, man, it's lovely, man, because sports, you build a lot of good relationships. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing I love about sports, man. You build a lot of good relationships. I don't care if it's football, basketball, whatever. Like, I can pick up my phone right now and reach out to a guy in Poland. That I played with, a teammate from Poland. You know what I'm saying? Iceland. You know what I'm saying? We brothers for life, man, because of sports. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's the good thing about sports. It shows discipline and
stuff like
that. But like you said, You got to be special, man. You got to be special, and then you got to be determined.
You got to be determined. I don't care what level it's at.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Because those guys are paying for a scholarship, and scholarships ain't cheap.
It ain't cheap, man.
It ain't cheap at all.
Yes,
and another thing, man, those guys got to understand, you sign that scholarship every year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They can pull that scholarship. It ain't no such thing as a four-year ride.
Yeah, they ain't playing that.
Man, you get those exit interviews, and the coach going – tell you he don't want you, but he gonna tell you in a nice way. He gonna find you somewhere to go. That's basically saying, man, your time up.
You know what I'm saying?
I've seen that happen too. You know what I'm saying? There ain't no such thing as a 4-year scholarship. So people got to understand, you got to go in there putting the work, or you gonna get fired. You know, it ain't no such thing as a 4-year scholarship. I tell everybody this. It ain't no such thing. It's a 4-year full ride. It ain't a such thing.
It ain't such you thing. Sign. You used to hear that all the time.
You hear that all the time, man. You can be, man.
Hey,
I'm telling you, when
there'll be a Division II school say, hey, I'm gonna take half of your scholarship.
Yeah,
you did good, but
yeah,
why don't you apply for financial aid?
Or better yet, I'm gonna see if I can find you somewhere else to go. You know what I'm saying? I know this coach such and such. You might be a good fit there. That's basically telling you bye. You know what I'm saying? So you got to work every year. Ain't no off days. You know what I'm saying?
No. And there was experiences as well in high school. Coach Aaron got a lot of people
good,
in colleges.
Good.
And there would be places like Albany State and FAMU.
Yeah.
And FAMU would be like, okay, I'll give you a half a scholarship football, and we'll give you a little bit of track.
Yeah.
They had to spread it out that way.
Yeah. Yes.
So you got.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that, man. And like I say, man, that money can be here today and gone tomorrow.
Gone tomorrow if you ain't showing up. You ain't showing up.
You're right about that, man. I'm telling you.
And man, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm proud of you. I think you turned out to be a good man.
Man, thank you, man.
You're a good young man. You were always humble.
Thank you, man.
I really thought. Very high, your mother is one of the sweetest ladies.
Yes.
Very sweet lady. Always had a smile on her face.
Yeah, man. She She raises right, man. I know it was tough, man. She, three boys and herself. She,
I can understand. She did it, man. She did a good job, too.
I don't know how she did it, but yeah, she did it.
She did it. Yeah. Good example. I mean, and you're not the only athlete. Your older brother was a good athlete.
Yep.
Didn't play much in high school. And I think he played, but Kendall ran him off.
Yeah. He didn't finish playing. He had a couple of schools that was interested in him, and but he didn't finish out playing. And my younger brother, he went to Middle Tennessee. He's the biggest out the bunch. He was offensive tackle, so he played 4 years.
I love watching him play because I knew him, Coach Tip, too.
Yeah, man.
I'm proud of him, too.
Yeah, man.
Because, you know, he used to be a little quiet.
Well, he turned out to be a beast.
Yeah, man.
He was a quiet bunch, man, but he was a technique guy, you know what I'm saying? Wasn't no rowdy guy like me, whatever like that.
Right.
But he was a technique guy, like that. So
now you not only have your son here, you have your older son also that played at Middle Tennessee.
Yeah. My older son, he played at Middle Tennessee. He played JUCO ball up in Mississippi and signed with Middle Tennessee over Colorado. Georgia was high on him, whatever like that.
I remember that.
Yeah. But he made a good decision to go to Middle Tennessee and played and did well out there. So
and he was just as good an athlete as you. He got it on us.
He had the opportunity to try pro ball a little bit. Didn't work out, but you know he had a shot. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, that's all you can ask for, and that's really. Really tough. To
that's yeah. You talking about another
1% of
1%. Yeah. That's like unreal, man. Because.
But man, you know what? I can go on for
me too, man. I love doing this, man. Yeah. And I appreciate y'all guys for having me. This is a good thing y'all do, man. And I hope y'all keep doing it, man. And I always willing to come back and talk football or basketball with y'all, whatever, because the basketball season is going to be special,
and,
too. So.
And that's where we may need you.
Okay, you good know, deal.
And football, let me get you here some weeks that I'm here and we talk about the game.
What you think about that?
Because, I mean, you're involved. You got your child out there.
I love to do that, man. We got a big game coming up this Friday, man, tomorrow. Against Coffee, man, you know, we need the whole city to come out over there, man. We need the whole city to come out.
That's right.
Cheer them Gators on, man. They've got a great bunch of guys there, man. And just need to keep encouraging them, doing the right thing, man, win some ball games and see what happens.
That's right. We made some changes in the staff this year, right? And we had some people leave.
We had some guys that moved on to better things and stuff like that. You know, you had Coach Troop go over to Thomasville. He won his first game over there as an offensive coordinator.
Good for him.
Yeah, he did pretty good.
We have a new defense coordinator.
Who
is he?
He's Coach Couch. Is his name. He's out of Jessup. Good guy, man. Defense
look good.
Yes,
man. Not saying nothing bad about the last defense coordinator. I don't want nobody to take that way. What I'm saying is defense look good.
Yeah, man. He kind of remind me of when Waters came. Waters was real rowdy with the guys, and the guys loved him from day one. But he's locked in with them. The guys love him. You know, they play hard for him and stuff like that. So he's a good guy, man. I think he's good for our defense.
Well, that's one.
I think he's gonna do real good.
Man, we gotta wrap it up. Philip been trying to get us wrapped up in a minute. Like I said though, we probably talk for hours.
Yes, man. I appreciate it, man.
Man, we appreciate you, man, and keep doing what you're doing, man.
Thank you.
All right, we're moving on to our winning ways segment. We have Benedictine at Buford. This week, I think Buford wins that game. We have Cairo at TCC, no question TCC. Rome at Carrollton, I don't know if that one's going to still be on. They had the bus flip over. And if it's on, that's going to be a good game. I can't call that one. New Hampstead at Savannah Christian, that'll be a good one. I think New Hampstead will win. Rockmart at Cartersville, probably Cartersville. And we're going to talk about Ware County's game last week. I'm going to say a few things about it. Ware County looked very good, very good. I like the aggressiveness at corner in the secondary. I like that we wasn't playing off so much. I liked how we looked. I liked how we looked on the defensive line. I thought we were impressive. Did we make some mistakes? Yes, we did. But overall, I think the team looked good and the coaches did a good job with them. Appling slowed that game down. It slowed it way down. If you go back and watch the game, look at where they were snapping the ball at, and we still beat them 40-10. That coach had a game plan where he was going to keep us off the field and give himself a chance. It did not work for him. Ware County just overpowered him. Our opponent is Coffey this week. Are they good? Yes, they are. Haven't seen if they could pass yet. They run the pass. From what I've seen, they may come out chunking the ball on us. They have a decent quarterback who is the coach's son, and y'all, it ain't playing favoritism. He's a good athlete. They have three good running backs. One is a gentleman from last year. I think it's 24. I may be wrong about the number. I apologize to Coffey fans if I got that wrong, but you have a number 22 on that team that is pretty fast. Saw him run and score a touchdown on Bainbridge, and I mean, he just left everybody. They have nice eyes on the line. They look pretty good on defense. That's going to be a good game. And I want to say a few other things about Ware County. Ware County's backfield really impressed me with the loss of R.J. Boyd. We all are praying for him. And he'll be back in better next year at North Carolina State. But I want to send a shout out to Ware County running backs. They were impressive as a group. No, they are not R.J., but they did well. R.J.'s brother looked pretty good. Orange looked pretty good. Solomon looked pretty good. Burden did pretty decent. Really, really impressed with Solomon. Good feet and vision. Orange is a good back, good vision. And definitely Burden is going to be a good one, too. Really surprised by R.J.'s brother and his talent. He is pretty good. So we're going to be all right. Our quarterback played a whole year last year. And there's nothing like reps, folks. You get the reps, you are going to get better. We have a good coaching staff. He looked good. I liked him. He was calm. He made a few mistakes on throws, but, you know, that's going to happen. But he looked pretty good at quarterback, and he's going to be good for us this year. I like our depth. And we don't play anybody both ways, and that's a rarity in high school nowadays. And we look pretty good on both sides of the ball. And we have some good depth. So I think the Gators, it's going to be a good game Friday. Of course, y'all know I'm rooting for Ware County. I am a homer. I ain't going to lie to you. I want my team to win. But that's going to be a pretty good game Friday. We're not picked to win. I think we're 14-point underdog by some publications. I think a little more by others. I think it's going to be a pretty good football game. We got a chance to win just like they got a chance to win. And I will be there in full force. But that is what I think about that Ware County and Coffey matchup. Once again, we're kind of really good against Appling. We look good against Brunswick, and I felt really, really good about how they played Brunswick. And I know it was three quarters, and it was scrimmage, and quarterback couldn't be hit. But I watched the Brunswick and Camden game, and that made me feel good about Ware County. All right, so that's going to be the segment of the Winning Ways. We'll be right back after this. On behalf of our producer, Philip Chaz Dixon, our statistician, James Taylor, and my colleague, Cody Taylor, thank you for joining our show for this week. We look forward to being with you again next week. Don't forget the keyword that we gave earlier in the show. By using it from the opening of business tomorrow until 2 p.m. next Wednesday, you will save 10% off your next purchase or service at any of our sponsors. Thanks to Uncle Wayne Steak and Barbecue for hosting us as our presenting sponsor. Thanks to J.D. Power Wash LLC for being a second-year sponsor for the Jamboree. Thanks to Glassworks Auto Care for another sponsorship for this platform. Thanks to Brian Blount from 105.1 FM, a Higgs multimedia radio station, for the radio publicity.
Brian is the voice of the Ware County Gators. Thanks to Scott Rifund and Garrison for the radio publicity at 102.5 FM and iHeart Radio Station. They are the voices of Glenn Academy and Red Terror Football. Thanks to the invaluable support from the Waycross and Ware County Happenings page on Facebook. Mr. Whipple loves this community dearly. Don't forget to check out our recommended reading for season 3, written by our good friend, Mr. John Nelson of GPB Sports. Peach State Pigskin History covers all the great moments of high school football in this great state, even dating back prior to World War I. You may purchase this book on Amazon and your choice of paperback or hardcover. Don't forget to catch Chester Proctor with his Friday Night Lights show on your local radio station via GNN. The show is recorded live in the Sweet Onion Capital of Georgia. As we sign off, don't forget to shop and buy local and to always thank a veteran for their service.